Okay, honey, I've got a quote I'm going to read to you.
Oh, good.
I just read it in a book, like yesterday, and I want to know your first thoughts when you hear it.
Okay.
The quote is this: if you struggle with anxiety, your child is up to 7 times more likely to struggle with it herself.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Ann Wilson.
And I'm Dave Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com or on our Family Life app.
This is Family Life Today. That creates anxiety in me. Like, that makes me fearful for parents as they hear that, you know, like, oh no. But as I listen to that, I also think, wow, this really is happening in our culture today, and we really need some help in it, because I've talked to so many parents that their daughters especially, and maybe I'm talking to moms that have daughters, but yeah, especially their daughters are struggling right now.
Well, we actually have the author of that quote sitting in our studio today at Family Life Today. Welcome to Family Life Today, Sissy.
Thank you. I'm so honored to be with y'all.
Yeah, you have one of the nicest smiles, I think.
I wish you all could be with us right now, because you'd be wanting to open your entire life to Sissy Goff, who's with us today.
Yeah, it's just
Thank you.
And Sissy Goff has written a book called Brave, which we're going to dig in today and find out what does that mean. But it's a teen girl's guide to beating worry and anxiety. And it's really interesting to know this, that you're a therapist.
Yes.
And you're a Daystar
Counseling Ministries.
Daystar Counseling Ministries in Nashville. And yes, I heard you say at lunch over 2,000 families
are coming currently.
That is incredible.
I know.
Think about that, Sissy, in comparison to the 80s.
Yes.
Like, what's different?
Oh, we just weren't talking about it in the 80s. I mean, when I was growing up, I do not remember ever hearing anybody else say they were in counseling, which they likely were.
Right.
And in fact, I remember I was in a sorority in college, and I remember 3 different girls disappearing for a semester and coming back, which obviously something was going on for them emotionally, and no one said a word. Which is so tragic to me that we were missing stepping into each other's lives in that way, but thankfully we're not anymore.
I mean, is that something that got you interested in psychology?
No, because I don't think I really thought about it back then either. I should have. I wish I would have asked them if they were okay. But no, but the classes I was taking at the time, certainly, I mean, it really was one foot in front of the other. Like, God opens one door at a time for us, and that's how it happened for me. But
well, you've written several books.
Yes.
She's written, what is it, 11 books. She's a prolific author, honey.
That's amazing. Pretty remarkable.
We've written 2 and we're exhausted, you know.
Me too.
What's been your favorite book? Can you, I guess they would all be your favorites in some ways.
I think the last 3 really have been, and they all have been about worry and anxiety, and have all been different. The first one, so my publisher came to me. I love this publisher I'm working with that we were talking about a minute ago at Baker. And he came to me and he said, so I read something in the last book you all did, which was Are My Kids on Track? And I'd written it with 2 of my coworkers at Daystar. And he said, you wrote a line about how the average age of onset was 8 for girls of anxiety, which it's now 6, which we can talk about that some too. But he said,
yeah, you just drop a little bomb like
that. A little
bomb,
yeah.
No, we got to go there in a minute, but go ahead.
But he said, will you ever write a book for girls at that age? And I had never written a book for girls that young. And as a therapist, y'all can probably guess where I went with this. I said, I'm not writing a book for girls unless I can write one for their parents. Because
of
exactly what you were talking about as we opened up the podcast, because it is a family situation. It's not just the child. So I ended up writing Raising Worry-Free Girls for Parents and Braver, Stronger, Smarter for Little Girls. And then they came out right before the pandemic started. And then the pandemic hit. And here I am now, of course, Zoom counseling. And I was watching so many adolescents in particular that I felt like were really struggling. Whereas before that, it had been elementary age girls. And I just felt like I've got to do something for these kids. And so I wrote Brave in about 6 weeks.
Wow.
Because I just was so worried. And we had a lot of time on our hands. Yeah. We were all staying at home. And so I think those three books, because it has felt like, good grief. I want to give these families and kids something because they're struggling so much. I think the felt need was so significant for me that it really, those books, I felt like, gosh, I'm really getting help in a way that I would never get to reach these families outside the walls of Daystar.
Way to go.
So it's been a real gift to me.
So well, has anxiety increased with boys and girls, but especially you're writing about adolescent girls, but I'm not just talking about since the pandemic, before the pandemic, and then has the pandemic, you know, intensified that.
Yes, yes, yes. All the things. So we wrote Are My Kids on Track probably now 5 years ago. And at the time, the statistics were 1 in 8 kids. Right before the pandemic, it jumped, had jumped to 1 in 4.
With 1 in 4 kids what?
Deal with anxiety.
Whoa.
With girls twice as likely. And then now we're at 1 in 3.
Wow.
Kids. Yes. And that it's just wild. And I mean, when I first started counseling, I think I probably would have said 2 out of every 20.
Yeah.
You know, it's just changed so much.
Now, of course, you're the expert. You know, you're working with these families and these girls. Why? I mean, the easy answer isn't COVID.
Right.
I mean,
that's part of it. No, because it was happening before.
Yeah.
I mean, technology, which I love that you all have been having conversations about that, because technology is absolutely a part of it. And I was working with a young girl, and her psychiatrist and I were talking back and forth, and she said to me, just even looking at a screen, and we can talk about social media because that's a huge piece of it too, but she said just the degree to which we're bombarded with images and all these different things as we're looking at a screen, our brains move into an agitated state that really mimics anxiety. So I think screens are a huge part of it. The genetics are a big part of it. I have never sat with as many kids who will say things like, I was so bummed that I got a 98 on that test as I have in the last probably 16 months. I think there is a pressure that girls particularly feel today that I don't think we felt.
I worked with a group of high school girls as a small group probably 7 years ago. So they're all high schoolers, really active in all different sports in school. The school that they were going to is a high school that was pretty demanding academically. And as we would sit, probably I think there were 7 girls, I felt overwhelmed for them by the things that they were feeling. I'm thinking about back in high school, like, man, I loved high school. It was so fun. You know, there was some homework, but it wasn't too bad, but I was so active. These girls felt so overwhelmed by the workload of school. Then they felt overwhelmed by their athletic, what they were doing athletically or artistically in music or band. But the pressure they felt for their grades, I'm thinking, what's happening? Like, I could feel it in the room every time they talked. And then we'd say, hey, when can we get together next week? They didn't even have time because their workload was so overwhelming and their calendars were booked. Mm-hmm. Is that part of it? Are these kids feeling so much pressure?
Absolutely. And at all ages, I think they're feeling it. I remember I think she was 11, an 11-year-old girl who said to me, she was seeing me because of anxiety, and she said to me, I had to ask my mom to stop scheduling so many activities for me. It was too much. Mm. Which, you know, as grown-ups, we're supposed to be the gatekeepers for them. And sometimes we're just doing so much that our whole family's living in this anxious place. So, yes, I think there's way too much, and that's part of it, too.
Yeah, and we started, you know, started the program talking about parents feeling anxiety.
Right.
Is that because parents are overextended? I mean, what's going on there? Because, again, when I first read the quote, and I knew Anne was going to say the same thing, I didn't tell her I was going to bring that up, but it made me feel anxiety, thinking, wow, I'm a parent that waits on me, especially if I still had kids in my home. I would get anxious about that. So help us out. What's a parent to do?
Well, so I want everyone to hear me say this very graciously, because I mean that in every sense of the word. I want this to feel gracious when I say this. But so the 7 times is, I think part of it is because we as grownups today, I think, are really the first generation of people who are pursuing mental health in a great way. You know, I think we're probably around the same age group, and our parents weren't in counseling.
Hey, she just said we're young,
honey.
I like it.
Keep going, sissy.
We're around the same age group.
Yeah,
that's like a 40-year span. But
no,
other than that,
that is not true.
Right. Our parents were not talking about any of this.
No, we weren't passing around a feelings chart around the dinner table. You know, we just weren't doing any of that. And so what I'm seeing in my office is this beautiful shift in parents who are saying, we really want to pursue mental health. And when I was, well, let me tell you a story that probably illustrates this better than anything I can think of. So if you were to bring your child to Daystar, we have a computer program called Therabill that tells us why people are coming before they come for the first time. And like I was saying to y'all at lunch, the Daystar office is a house. It's this cute yellow house with a white picket fence and a front porch and a swing in the yard, and the offices look like living rooms. And so when a family comes to Daystar—
Wait, you forgot something. You forgot about the animals.
I did. So we have 5 dogs on staff, which is one of my favorite parts of
They're
what I get
staff?
To do.
They're on staff? They're paid staff?
I wish. I keep trying to hit my boss up for that, and it hasn't worked yet, but I love that idea. So I knew this little girl that was coming in for the first time, who was 8 and had anxiety, I knew Daystar was going to have already done some of the work of just setting her at ease. And so I saw on Therabill that she was coming in, and I'm in the upstairs of our Daystar house, and I came down the stairs, and I saw her, and as you said, I mean, I have this enormous smile. And so I smiled at her across the lobby and waved at her, and she smiled really big back at me. And I walked over, and I won't say her name, but I introduced myself to her and said, "Hey, I'm Sissy. I'm so excited that you're at Daystar. I'm going to give you a tour of the Daystar house, and then we're going to go upstairs and meet my little dog, Lucy, who's going to be so excited to meet you." And I mean, this little girl was so cute, and she popped up to follow me, and her mom grabbed her arm and said, "Do you feel comfortable with that?" And it had never occurred to this little girl not to feel comfortable for following me until her mom said, "Do you feel comfortable with that?" And her very kind, very well-intentioned mom followed us on the whole tour and then sat across from my office the entire time we had a conversation. And so, as I do always, I mean, I sent the little girl out and I brought the mom in at the end of the session and said,
I want to hear this conversation.
Yeah. So I said, tell me about your family history. Do you have any family history for anxiety or anything else? And this mom said, "Well, yeah, I had anxiety growing up and my parents never understood what was going on with me." And so now that was her whole goal was, I'm going to understand my daughter, which she did a fantastic job with. But in the book, I have it broken down into understanding, help, and hope. She stopped at the understanding, and she wasn't helping her work through the anxiety. And I think that's a big part of the problem, is that when we, of course, as a parent, when you see your child in distress, what would you want to do but step in and help?
Right.
And so the two most common parenting strategies in light of anxiety are escape and avoidance. So it's easy to step in and rescue them from the situation instead of helping them work through it. And every person who works with anybody about anxiety would say, to work through the fear, you have to do the scary thing. And so I think that's part of it too, is parents are stepping in and rescuing rather than helping their kids work through it. And that's, I think that's part of where the statistics are. And if you're listening and you're a parent, there is absolutely help, and we can do something different.
Yeah, so that story is the quote we started with.
Yes.
This little girl's picking up the anxiety of her mom, who's had her whole life.
Right.
And it's transferred down.
And often, I mean, the older I get and the longer I do this work, I don't know if either of you all would fit this, but I think every person, I hate to say every at my age, but I think really probably every person who's type A, or a 1 on the Enneagram, if you're Enneagram people, has some degree of anxiety. And what we learn to use as our primary coping strategy is productivity. And so, especially as a type A person, the most natural thing is for you to try and fix it and step in and kind of correct and pave the road in a lot of ways for your kids. And so I think for those parents, it's even harder sometimes. And I mean, I'm this personality type. I want to do everything right. And so I'm just trying so hard that it's harder to right the ship sometimes if I'm not heading the right direction.
Yeah.
And it's well-intentioned too.
Take us back to, as we talked earlier about, now we're seeing the onset of anxiety starting at the age of 6.
No.
What does that look like? How would parents know that their child is struggling with anxiety?
I love that you asked that question because it's different. Because at six, they're not going to say, when you changed my schedule at the last minute, it made me feel really anxious.
Right.
Yeah.
They're just going to melt down coming home from school. Or they're going to get really angry. And it's so fascinating to sit with parents because I think the two most common words parents use for girls at that age when I sit with them, and this is boys too, girls are just leading the statistics on anxiety, but they'll talk about control and manipulation.
Hmm.
And they'll say things like they're so explosive with their anger, and it's really when they don't get what they want. So I'll try and kind of dig underneath that a little bit, obviously, as a therapist and say, okay, tell me some of those scenarios. When exactly is that happening? And it is often things like, well, we picked her up from school and she thought this was what was going to happen. And then we told her we had to run five errands first. Or it's when I say to her, no, I need you to go brush your teeth right now. And there's no lead time. So it literally is when she has to be really flexible, when the schedule is changing at the last minute, there's no predictability and they feel out of control. And, you know, I don't know if y'all feel this way, but if somebody at 3 p.m. told me that my day was going to look totally different than I had thought,
you're right,
and I had no control, I'd get anxious and maybe a little mad.
Yeah.
I might try and control it, but they can't at that age. And so their emotions, y'all probably have heard this, but psychologists will say that anger is a secondary emotion.
Right.
And there's often something else underneath it. And so for most girls that I see, that's what's at the root of their anger, is that it's anxiety. Or it will often look to like kids who get tummy aches, headaches that are recurring that you notice on Sunday nights before school starts on Monday, or certain situations. And I think those girls often are a little bit more perfectionistic, and so they don't want to talk about the emotion because they feel like it's wrong, maybe.
Yeah.
They're the kids who want to be agreeable and want to please you so much, and so they stuff it, and so it comes out sideways.
So I'm imagining a lot of moms or dads listening to that right now, and they're thinking, check, check,
right,
check. And now that causes them to be a little more introspective, like maybe that is happening in my home. And I thought it was just that she was being overly dramatic.
Right.
And I think that's what we can do. Like, oh my goodness, it's not that big of a deal. You know, stop being so dramatic.
We minimize it.
Yes.
Right.
I think that, I'm imagining, I think I did that sometimes as a mom. Like, it's not that big of a deal, man. Chill out. You know? And so, but you're
saying— And that was the Enneagram 7 coming out.
Are you— Seven.
With an eight, so that eight can come in there too. But with that, as parents are hearing that, like guide them now with that. Like, should they start really kind of tracking a little bit more what their kids or their daughters are feeling?
Yes, I do think it's really important. I mean, I joke with parents a lot about, you know, if you do marriage counseling for the first time and there's that whole thing that you learn that's really called reflective listening. Like, what I hear you saying is that feels so silly when they first explain it to you.
Yeah.
And it works. Mm-hmm. I mean, it makes such a difference. And so even saying back to your child, I can tell you're really sad, or I can tell that makes you worried, or I can tell you're really frustrated. Let's talk a little bit more about that. You know, that we just start with empathizing with them. I think really in anything parenting-wise, to start with empathizing is really important. And then I typically have a first three go-tos that I do with kids. So you already, you might have to do
with me. I'm writing it down.
Okay. So a little brain chemistry 101, what happens for us when we get anxious? Well, when we're not anxious, we have blood flowing all throughout our brain, including going to the prefrontal cortex, which helps us think rationally and manage our emotions. Mm. When we get anxious, every one of us, or when we get angry too, our blood vessels in our brain constrict, and it shifts the blood flow away from the prefrontal cortex into the amygdala. And y'all know the amygdala is the fight or flight part of our brain. And so when I sit with parents, they will say so often, she is acting like a crazy person. Which exactly, because the rational part of their brain is not even getting blood. It's just completely offline in those moments.
So literally, it's making her crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
It's literally, and until we can calm her body down or his body down, and this is these are the tools we would use with boys too. So until we can get them calmed down, the calming is what dilates the blood vessels of the brain again, and it shifts the blood flow back.
you're probably familiar with John Gottman. You know that name?
Yes,
I mean, I've heard Dr. Gottman talk about marriage counseling, and he makes the same sort of assessment medically when he says when a man's heart rate gets higher than 98, so the constriction's going on.
Yes.
He said the next thing out of his mouth is going to be really stupid. You know, because of the he's not able to reason.
Same
and so
thought.
He's like, you need to step away from that conflict and settle it down and come back. You're saying the same thing with a teenage adolescent girl or boy.
The next 6-year-old.
Yeah.
Any
or
age.
A 50-year-old, probably.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The next question is, how do we calm them down?
So this is my favorite way to do it with kids. So what I have them do is I have them put their hand on their leg. Y'all can do it with me.
Okay, I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Okay.
Everybody do that. If you're listening at home, put your hand on your leg.
Put your hand on your leg. And there's another
Somebody just said, I'm driving the car.
They can still put their hand
do
on
it.
Leg.
I do it in the car sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I do this too. So we call this square breathing. I call it square breathing with girls. Now, my counterpart, David Thomas, who does a lot of the work with boys at Daystar, he calls it combat breathing.
Oh,
for
that's
boys.
Good.
Yeah, sounds cooler.
Yep.
And he learned that term from some Navy SEALs, so it really is a thing.
Hmm.
So what they're going to do is they're going to draw a square on their leg very slowly. With each line of the square, you're going to breathe a different way. So in, pause for 3 seconds in the corner, out, pause for 3 seconds in the corner. In, pause for 3 seconds in the corner, out, pause for 3 seconds in the corner. 20 seconds of deep breathing resets the amygdala.
Really?
Wow.
That's all it takes, 20 seconds. Now, I will have a lot of kids or a lot of parents who will come to me and say, we tried the square breathing and it didn't work. But what happened was that if we're thinking about emotions on a 1 to 10 scale, they're starting it at 8. You've got to start it at 2.
Hmm.
Or when you know, when you're about to say something that you know is going to be triggering to your child or your teenager, to say, let's do some square breathing while we talk about this.
Hmm.
Or for me, if I'm about to go into something that I know is going to make me anxious, sometimes before I speak, I've been doing it for a long time, I'll still get anxious. I'll stand over to the side of the stage and
draw
a little square. Yes.
And it's probably so good for parents too, because as our kids are starting to get anxious, it creates anxiety in us of knowing how to respond. And
right.
So it can calm.
We trigger each other.
Yeah, it calms us down as well.
Yes.
But if they are at an 8,
and
they've already gone there, is there anything we can do when you feel like, okay, now she's super out of control?
Yeah. Have them move. If they're, and you know, teenagers, it's going to be harder to get them to have any buy-in. If you said, I want you to go run around the block, they're going to say whatever. But little ones, you can say, hey, I want you to go take a lap around the block or go run up and down the stairs one time. Now, I am, and the longer I do this work with all these anxious kids, the more I'm into incentivizing kids. And so coming up with, often I will call them brave beads. And so when a child will just on their own do the square breathing, or when they'll say, you know, an adolescent will say, hey, I need to go for a run. With them, I don't think you'd give them a brave bead, but you would say, I'm so proud of you. Way to go for doing that on your own, that you just knew you needed it in that moment. But with younger ones, to say, you just earned a brave bead for doing the square breathing on your own. That's so great. You're working the system, you know, that we've come up with. And so anytime they use basically a positive coping strategy, rewarding them for that.
Here's what I'm thinking as I'm hearing this about helping an adolescent girl walk through this. It's where we started. It's like, I need to do this. Right. As a parent, you know, I got to start with me and then be able to coach my son or daughter, right?
Exactly.
I mean, it's almost looking in the mirror. It's like, man, like you said, when you're standing on the side of the stage, sometimes you're doing the square combat breathing.
Is that
what you call it? Yeah. I think it's something that God calls us to. You know, it's easy to look at, I've been thinking this whole time, Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. And the question often is, I can't stop being anxious. How do I do that? And you've given us some tools to say, yeah, you can. God will help you do this, and you can help lead your kids to do that too. So that's been really, really helpful.
Well, I'm excited that we've hit the first one of being able to learn how to calm down as we talk about square breathing.
But we're not done.
Yeah, we're not done. It will be fun to hear what the number 2 and number 3 strategy are. And I think a good reminder as we close is one of those ways that we can even do our square breathing. And one of the things I've learned to do, and maybe you've done this as well, Sissy, is I can just take those breaths and I can pray as I'm doing that.
Absolutely.
Lord Jesus, help me to calm down. Help me to remember who you are. Help me to remember that you're in control. And I think bringing in the power of Scripture, the power of the Holy Spirit who abides in us if we know Jesus, oh, that feels so good to bring him into it as well. This has been so helpful.
You just made me more relaxed by the way you said that.
There is certainly no shortage of news in our world today that can lead us to become anxious or fearful. And if that's true for us, think about what it's like for adolescent young women in our culture today. And as parents, we need to be alert to this reality and know how to step into our daughter's life and help her deal with the anxiety or fear she's feeling. That's what this series with Cissy Goff is all about on Family Life Today. It's also what Cissy's book entitled Brave is all about. The subtitle is A Teen Girl's Guide to Beating Worry and Anxiety, a great book for moms and daughters to go through together. It's a book that we've got in our Family Life Today Resource Center. You can order it from us online at familylifetoday.com or call 1-800-FL-TODAY to order. If you'd like to understand your daughter's emotions better and learn ways that you can help her battle against worry and anxiety, go to familylifetoday.com to order your copy of Cissy Goff's book, Brave, or call us to order at 1-800-FL-TODAY, 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. Now, I don't know about whether your calendar is starting to look more crowded in the weeks and months ahead. I think most of our calendars start to fill up about this time of year. Here at Family Life, there's a lot that's filling up our calendars, like the return of the Weekend to Remember Marriage Getaways. We've got about 30 of those events happening in cities all across the country this fall. We have other events, resources being released, and of course, Family Life Today continues day in and day out. All of this activity has one goal in mind, and that is to effectively develop godly marriages and families. We believe godly marriages and families can change the culture, one home at a time. And as we head into what is for us a new fiscal year, we are asking Family Life Today listeners to consider joining us in this mission. Help make Family Life Today and all of the resources of Family Life available to people in your community by joining with us financially. And we're particularly praying that God would raise up in every city where Family Life Today is heard, two new legacy partner families. These are families who say, we believe in what Family Life Today is all about. We want to see this ministry continue in our community. And as a result, we're willing to become monthly supporters, to make a monthly donation in support of the ministry of Family Life Today. If you would be one of the two families in your community to do this, we'd like to do a couple of things for you. First of all, we'll send you a copy of Dave and Ann Wilson's new book, which is called No Perfect Parents. We'll also send you access to more than a dozen messages from Dave and Ann about marriage and family. Some of these are messages you've heard on Family Life Today, but some of these are messages that we've not shared with our audience yet. So you'll have access to that exclusively right now. And then we'll send you a certificate so that you and your spouse or a couple you know can attend as our guests one of our upcoming Weekend to Remember Marriage Getaways. The certificate covers the registration cost, and it's our gift to you, along with the book and the access to the messages from Dave and Ann, when you become a monthly legacy partner in support of the ministry of Family Life Today. And that's easy to do. You can go online at familylifetoday.com, or you can call 1-800-FL-TODAY and say, I'd like to become a legacy partner. Please pray with us that in every city where Family Life Today is heard, there would be two new families who would step forward to do that. And if you're one of those two new families, thanks in advance for joining the Legacy Partner team. We look forward to connecting with you. And we hope you can join us again tomorrow when we're going to continue the conversation about how to help our adolescent daughters battle anxiety and worry, insecurity, fear. Cissy Goff joins us again. I hope you can be here as well. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.